So we let the day pass by, one day passes by, another day passes by, one month passes by, another month passes by, then 1 year passes by, yeah? And then suddenly, you know, we realize we are old and we are going to die. Nothing done with our life, you know, what is worthwhile, what we can take with us. Only worked for the body. And then we might realize, maybe there is something else that is valuable in this life. Maybe and we should have looked a little bit more, not only 2 or 3 hours after our owner of the body, and trained him well. So but we can pass the time very well, you know, doing this and doing that, you know, passes by. You know. When we are in the world, we look at our phone, you know, or when we are Thai people, then we eat this and we eat that. We eat this and we eat that, you know, or we talk. Yeah? Talk for hours. And then the day passes by, and then in the evening, what have I done? Actually nothing. Yeah? What have you accomplished? Nothing. We just have accomplished that some of the valuable time that we have in this life, you know, has been wasted. Yeah? Or in other words, you know, we call it killing our time because we have so much on hand, we can't wait to die. Huh? Yes? Monks? Yeah? We can't wait to die, you know, so we kill the time. Everything is nice when we are here in this monastery. I mean, what do we have to worry about, huh? Nah? Nothing. Yeah? I mean, the food comes in the morning. We just sit down and eat, you know, and then afterwards we get up, yeah? And then we should do actually our practice. But then it's too hot, you know, and then we look for another place that is cooler, and then we look for another place that is cooler. Ah! If you do that, you know, at least, you know, do walk, you know, walk with your mindfulness. Eh? Not looking around here, looking around there. Yeah, I mean, be concentrated on the Buddha or be concentrated on the breath. You know? But people, when they walk, you know, they don't put their eyesight in front of them, 1 meter, you know, not looking left and not looking right. Yeah? Bindapat, the same thing, arms round. And that's how we waste our time, yeah? Because all these sensations that come in, yeah? I mean, we constantly react to these sensations. There I see something, then I need to look again, you know, what is it? You know, then I define it, what it is. And then this sensation comes in, then I look, what is this? You know, maybe it's a feeling, maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a memory, where does it come from? I mean, that's all not practice, yeah? Practice is, you know, there are two types of practice. One type of practice is getting the mind completely calm. Staying with the Buddha or staying with the breath. Eh? And whenever the mind wants to get out, you know, we'll pull it back. Yeah? And that's where we need all our effort to pull it back because it doesn't want to go back. Have you noticed that? It wants, just let me think about this. That is a nice memory, you know. Let me, you know, let me indulge in this memory, yeah? But sometimes we not only indulge in good memories, we also indulge in bad memories, eh? Well, what's the use of it? To indulge in memories of things that have passed, that we cannot correct, that actually are gone, you know, outside of our control. The only time when we have control of what is happening or how do we react, you know, is this present moment. But most of the time we are not in this present moment. Most of the time we think about what am I going to do next, yeah? Or what am I going to do tomorrow or the day after tomorrow or next month or next year? Yeah? Or trying to arrange, you know, something that is going to happen in the future. The future has not come. We don't know how it is. We really have no slightest idea what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't know. Yeah. But we know what is happening right now. That is the only thing we really know. You understand that? And that's where we can work, in this very only moment, present moment. Huh? That's where we see a thought comes in, that's where we see a memory comes in, that's where we see our attention is good or our attention is not so good. That's where we see, you know, when feelings coming in. That's when we see how our heart reacts towards all these sensations coming in. And we have that choice. In this moment, we have the choice to go to these feelings or memories and thoughts or not to go. That is the choice that we have. But we have that only in this one moment. When we go in the past, we don't have any choices. These things are fixed, yeah? When we go, you know, in the future, I mean, all what we do is, you know, I mean, just painting pictures. Nice pictures, you know, because we are so unhappy now, so we paint a nice picture of the future where we are happy, where we are relieved, where we are free, where we have all the things that we need that has never happened in this life. Yeah? It has never happened in this life. We never had all the things that we need. We were always, you know, hungry for this or hungry for that. We never satisfied, yeah? So, this is part of our life, that we are constantly hungry. Yeah? hungry for this sensation, hungry for this thought, hungry for that memory, yeah? We are only happy or we are only contented when we reach samadhi, when there is no more thoughts and when there is no memories. And that should teach us a lesson. Yeah? So if we are looking for happiness or if we are looking for contentment, that's how we get it momentarily. Yeah? If we leave the thoughts and memories outside of our room of samadhi. That's how we get contentment, and there's complete contentment. At that moment when we are in samadhi, there is no wish to want anything, yeah, or to change anything. Even if it is hot, yeah. I mean, maybe the sweat is running down, but it doesn't really bother us. Maybe, you know, a mosquito is biting us, it really doesn't bother us, yeah. There's nothing what we want in this moment, yeah? Because we are completely satisfied. And when we come out, then our thoughts and memories coming back, and then they create all this trouble that we constantly have. This I don't like, this I like, this I don't, yeah, this I don't want, that I want, and so on, and so on, and so on. Yeah? Only when we come out of samadhi, then we realize, you know, I mean, the big problem at the moment, you know, is our thoughts and memories that constantly tell us what to do, how to feel, what to expect and what not to expect. Actually, also in the training of samadhi, you know, our expectations are the worst thing, you know, that constantly hinder us, you know, to get into samadhi. Oh, now it's coming, now it's coming. Who is saying that? Now it's come. Just a little bit more. Who is saying this? If we don't even realize it, you know, that there is this, you know, this voice, you know, yeah, behind us. Huh? And instead of then, okay, there's a thought, let's go back to the Buddha, let's do the work, yeah, and the work, and the result of the work is samadhi. I mean, whenever it comes, yeah, sometimes, you know, like Lungta Mahabhor said, you know, sometimes it takes 11 hours, sometimes it takes 1 hour, sometimes, you know, it takes half an hour, yeah, before it comes, yeah. I mean, but we have to do our work. That's why I like the simile, you know, of digging a hole. As long as we dig, there will be a hole. If we start looking for the hole, then the hole disappears. So remember this, yeah, this expectations is so frustrating, yeah, because it never comes. As long as these thoughts are in there, it never comes, yeah. We want to go beyond thoughts, we want to go beyond memories, and that's why it doesn't come. And put a little bit more effort in your practice, yeah, especially also the monks, yeah, don't waste your time. the precious time, and it is, you know, I mean, we really have the best kind of life that one can think of if one has the intention, you know, of practicing. If one, of course, doesn't want to practice, you know, then this kind of life is not so easy, yeah? Then it is difficult. But if we have really set our mind on the intention to practice, then this kind of life, I mean, it's perfect. I mean, the Lord Buddha saw it, you know, he designed it for us, you know, and then we do it. We don't have to worry about anything at all. We just have to worry about our practice. Yeah? And one part of the practice is getting the mind completely calm. Going into upachara samadhi or access samadhi and seeing and feeling and and experience this calmness, this contentment of the heart. And when you come out, you know, just remind yourself, this is when I'm really contented. This is when I'm really happy. When there is no more thoughts and when there is no more memories. When I come out of samadhi, you know, I mean, the kilesas are already waiting at the door, you know. And then they entangle us in all these sorts of things. And then we are not free again. And then they tell us, I need this, I need that, you know. But before that, yeah, we don't realize, before that we didn't need anything. And this is something you have to remind yourself. When you're in samadhi, you know, you don't need anything. And why do you need suddenly all these things when you come out? Why? Oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, you know, and so on. I need to drink something, you know, now I need to sleep or whatever. But before that, you know, we didn't need anything. If it was hot, you know, it was hot. If it was cold, you know, we didn't worry about anything at all. When we come out, oh, it's too cold, or it's too hot, or let me take a shower, and so on. All these wishes, all this desire. And that is where we see actually, you know, the second noble truth. Desire, wanting things, yeah, or not wanting things, you know, that creates a dukkha. And that is the first noble truth, the dukkha. And the fourth noble truth, that is the path that leads out of dukkha. And it is comprised of sila, samadhi, and panya. Sila is morality. Yeah? When we are here in the monastery, we keep the 8 precepts. That's fine. That is perfect. Yeah. I mean, this is a perfect basis, you know, for getting to the end of dukkha. Just 8 precepts. You don't have to have the higher precepts. Of course, you know, it does help the higher precepts. But, you know, the 8 precepts are enough. Yeah? When we look at the Mechis in Thailand, you know, who have only 8 precepts, and I mean, they can go to arahantship. So we don't actually do need it, you know, but it is helpful in a lot of cases. It is more helpful to have the higher precepts, but we don't need them, you know. If we really intend on practicing, we really don't need them. So there is a sila, and samadhi is the ability to concentrate on one point, you know, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, or in the beginning, if it is too difficult, breathing in with the Buddha, breathing out with the door. Or if you don't like Buddha, you know, then take Dhammo, yeah? Breathing in with the Dham, breathing out with the Mo, yeah? And so on. Or Sangho, yeah? Everything, you know, a word that has 2 syllables. Let's just take, you know, whatever you have faith in. If you have more faith in the Dhamma, take Dhamma, yeah? If you have more faith in the Lord Buddha, yeah, then take Buddha, yeah? But if you have more faith, you know, in the community of all the arahants, then take Sangha. Yeah? Or whatever. Or one day you can take Buddha, another day you can take Dhammo, or another day you can take Sangha. Yeah? But don't switch in between. That's the only thing. I mean, if you do Buddha, you know, if you say, you know, I'm going to sit for 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, then you take one thing, yeah? Buddha or breath, yeah? Or Dhamma or breath or whatever, yeah? And then stick to it for 2 hours. And then you see, I want to change it. Now the Buddha is so boring, you know, let's take Dhamma. Now, we don't switch, yeah? Otherwise, we won't get into samadhi. Yeah? If you constantly switch, it's the same thing as the nature of the. What? If we switch between, you know, I mean, we do get lost. Yeah? That is the nature of the mind. And I do say it, you know, but you can experience. Yeah? If you really want to think about something, yeah, I mean, then sit down, observe the mind, and say, okay, now you can think about the subject. And then you will see after three thoughts, automatically the mind shifts to a similar subject. It is not on the subject. It doesn't want on the subject. If you force it to stay on the subject, it doesn't want to stay on the subject anymore. Because there is nothing more to think about. That's why it switches to another subject. So that is the nature of the mind. It cannot stay on one object, you know, by itself. Eh? It has to switch and switch and switch and switch. Yeah? Just try it out. You know, I mean, it's nothing. You know, I mean, nothing that I say, you know, cannot be experienced by yourself. Eh? All these things can be experienced. You can investigate the citta, how the citta reacts to the different things. You can observe everything. Yeah, I mean, but what you need is a little bit of sati. Yeah, if you don't have the sati, the power of observance, you will not be able to see it, what I'm talking about. But if you have the power of sati, you can see it, everything. You can see every mind moment, yeah, if you want to. Where you see, okay, a sensation comes in, then you see, you know, how the mind tries to figure out what kind of sensation it is. And then you see, you know, how the mind, and this figuring out takes quite a little bit of time, you know, I mean, it calls up, you know, memory, what is this, you know, can it be this, can it be that? And if you don't know the sound, you know, I mean, it gives you a wrong feedback, yeah? So the computer is not perfect, you know? I mean, if it doesn't know the signal, yeah? It doesn't give you the right signal, and then you assume, yeah? Oh, it's a snake, you know? But actually, it was just a small toucan, yeah? It wasn't a snake. So these all, some people, you know, especially Thai, think it's a ghost, huh? And then they get afraid. And then you see, you know, I mean, the moment you define the label what the sensation is, then you become either angry or you can become very happy or you become afraid. And you see it, you know how it works, yeah? You see how the mind works, yeah? And then at any stage you can interact and say, okay, I'm not interested, you know, let's go back to the Buddha or let's go to the breath. And this whole cart house that we played up or that we built up to then suddenly falls apart as it is, it never existed. But you can see it all, yeah. I mean, just try it out. I mean, if you have enough sati, you know, see it, how it works, yeah. I mean, it's a very simple machine, actually. It's a very simple machine. It's not beyond our ability to see how it works. Yeah? And then, you know, the more we see how it works, the more we get disillusioned about this machine that constantly plays this card. All the tricks on us. Yeah? Because it says, you know, it assumes it's this, you know, and then suddenly our desire, yeah, the desire, you know, to want something or the desire not to want something comes up. Yeah? And then we are in trouble. Because this desire is quite a hot feeling. Or if anger comes up, it is also a hot feeling. It makes us hot, yeah. It makes us uncomfortable. And then we see the results of the dukkha. So training the samadhi, you know, being on one object, you know, whatever you choose. The same thing for Chankram path. Now I'm walking up and down, yeah. At each turnaround at the Chankram path or at the walking meditation. I'm using Chankram. At the walking meditation, whenever you turn around, just say this one path I want to be with my Buddha or with the breath. Yeah? At the end of the path, just check, have I been? No. And in 90.5% of the cases, you have never been one path with the Buddha. It is very interesting. Only then, you know, if you walk for 2 or 3 hours, then slowly it is getting better, you know, and then suddenly, you know, you actually also can enter upachara samadhi where there is no more thoughts and memories, and where there is just the Buddha or just the breath. You know? And if you're good, you know, I mean, you actually can, you know, sit aside and see the body walking up and down. So that's interesting, yeah. Well, who's walking there? Yeah. While the citta is outside and watching the body walk, yeah? that is upachara, that is a phase of upachara samadhi, yeah? one can experience it, yeah, but we have to walk, you know, over all this tiredness, laziness, sleepiness, and so on. We have to walk through them. Yeah? So sometimes we have to walk for 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, or 8 hours, yeah? Or sometimes only for 2 or 3 hours. Yeah? That depends on. It's the same with sitting. Yeah, I mean, we have to go through all these hindrances that come up. Oh, I'm so tired. Yeah. But I told you, oh, I'm so in pain, yeah, because sitting is more difficult, because in the sitting position, we have to concentrate 100% of the mind, yeah, or the heart. In walking meditation, we have only to concentrate maybe 50% of the heart, because the heart needs to walk. Yeah? So that is an activity of the heart, or an activity of the citta, and that's why it is easier to concentrate when we do walking meditation than when we do sitting meditation, where there's nothing moving, where the citta is completely, has to be completely controlled to stay on the subject. And the third part, you know, the thing that actually, you know, delivers us to freedom is, or freedom from dukkha, is panya, is investigation. And the investigation starts with the body. Yeah? What is the body? I mean, we have this body, you know, we were born in this body, we will die in this body, so we assume we are this body. Yeah? But what goes on into the next life? The owner of the body, we don't even notice. Yeah? It is the same thing, like I say quite often. When we are born in a car, when we die in the car, when we have never got out of the car, I mean, how can we not assume that we are the car? We have never seen the outside of the car. So that's why the Lord Buddha came, you know, knocked on the window of the car and said, hey, get out, yeah? Look, see, you're not the car, yeah? And that is the investigation, to investigate that we are not this body. It is one of the essential things. It's actually the third fetter. When you look at the tenth fetter that binds us to the realms of rebirth, it is the third fetter, the belief that we are this body. And we have to undermine it. And this is a constant training. We are not this body. We are not this body. Yeah. We have to take care of this body. That is for clear. That is sure. Yeah. Because this is actually, you know, this body, you know, helps us on the path to deliverance. Yeah? It is a vehicle. Yeah. Just like we need in our world, we need a vehicle to drive from point A to point B. You know, if it is more than 500 meters. Yeah. This body is a vehicle, so we have to take care of it, just like we take care of our vehicle, of our car. Huh? And that's it, but that's it, you know, and the rest, then we decide, and then we have to investigate that we are not this body. And it is very important, you know. So look, you know, cut it up, you know, and put it in front of you until there's nothing left on the seat, yeah. And then look at the parts of the body, and then try to determine which part of the body is actually the body, yeah. Yeah, is the liver the body? Is the intestine the body? Is the small intestine, the big intestine the body? Is the heart the body? Is the lungs the body? Is the brain the body? You can not only take on the whole head, carefully, you know, put the hair of the head, you know, on one side, you know, the skull, you know, and whatever is inside the skull, you know, just place it in front of you and try to visualize it. Yeah? And the moment you take it off, the body, you know, that sits there and does this exercise, when you take it off, then you see it there, and it is not there sitting anymore on the seat. Yeah? And you have to do that, you know, and this is one way to do it. You have to do it until it really clicks, until you really understand, until you legit understand, it's not the body, I'm not the body. You know, there are body parts and it has nothing to do with me. You know, when I'm taking it on, you know, I mean, yes, there's the body, yeah. But when I take out, there are only body parts, yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha gave us a simile about the cart, yeah. I mean, when I disassemble the cart into its bits and pieces, into a plank, you know, into a bolt and nuts and whatever, and wheel, and even the wheel disassemble it, you know, where is the cart? There's no cart. They're just bits and pieces, yeah. Just like with the body. Where's the body? You know, they're just bits and pieces. And none of the bits and pieces are the body. So what is the body? You know, that is an interesting question that you can investigate. What is the body? Until it clicks, you know, that is the third fetter. What is the second fetter that we need? I mean, we need the first three fetters, you know, in order to enter the stream, to cut them down. And the second fetter is the sila. I mean, when we are here in the monastery, we keep the 8 precepts. That's it. There's no problem. Yeah, with the second fetter. Yeah? The first fetter is, you know, is a problem for some people. It's doubt. Doubt that, yeah, they don't believe that there's a heaven or there are beings in heaven. They don't believe in hell or that there are beings in hell. Or they don't believe, you know, in karma. Yeah? And they don't believe in rebirth. Yeah? That is a problem. That is the first fetter. And that keeps a lot of, especially the Westerners away, you know. I mean, they cannot enter the stream if they have these kind of doubts. Because when you enter the stream, you actually see reality, you know, and you see it all, and you know it. It exists. It is there. Okay. Now do use your time wisely, you know. Practice as much as you can, and a little bit more. Yeah? If you think you can't do it anymore, then just do 10 more minutes, yeah? And every day a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, until you get the hang of it. Once you get the hang of it, you don't want to stop. And that is, it's amazing, you know, I mean, every moment that you are, you know, whatever you do, I mean, you're mindful, you're aware of your Buddha, or you're aware of the breath, yeah? And if you don't have anything to do, you know, I mean, then you go back to your kuti and sit or practice tantra. Yeah, walking meditation. There's nothing more interesting than this because you have gotten the momentum. Yeah? And that's where one result after the other starts to flow. Okay, so any questions?